One day past the primary election, we'll put some of those election results on the plate here today. Got a couple of different focuses, though, as we'll lean in. I'll just say right now, John Bennion's going to join us on Friday, author, the guy who's very well informed in Montana's politics over the years. So we'll kind of reevaluate the election results on Friday. We'll talk with our guest today about it as well. It's Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. The 2026 wildfire season, right? We're all curious about that. I think there was just the first official fire briefing to the governor, and so we'll get the latest information on that too. And here's something, and I've talked about it as well. I think we've been letting our children down with some of our thoughtless policies here. The governor has initiated a new program, A Home for Every Child, and I'm anxious to get into that as well. Governor Greg Gianforte joins us first today on Voices. Pleasure to welcome Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, our 25th governor, and a lot of things on his plate as well. I want to get to a question. I haven't mentioned it yet about AI as well, because our governor is a trained engineer, an entrepreneur, a tech entrepreneur, and an elected thought leader as well. So I want to get some thoughts on AI, because it's on everybody's plate here. But first, we welcome our governor of the great state of Montana. Greg, how are you, sir?
Hey, Tom. It's good to be with you.
Thank you for being on board. First, your reactions from last night's results.
Well, I was pleased to see Kurt Almey win his primary, Troy Downing, Aaron Flint. I think they're great candidates going into the general election. I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative. I want to see conservative leadership in the House and Senate. I think they're going to do a great job for us. The state legislative sessions, we're still combing through the results. We have our plan that we've put together based on all of our discussions with stakeholders across the state. And I'll work with any legislator that gets elected that's willing to work with us on the priorities of the people of Montana.
Do you think there'll be a little bit, and we've talked about it, and you addressed it last time you were on here, several weeks ago, but do you think what kind of leftovers will have to be dealt with the Montana GOP and some of its members inside the party? As you know, there was a lot of acrimony and I can put it that way. There's other ways to put it too. How do you repair that for the purpose of getting good policy out of our state capitol?
Well, I think we need to focus on the goal. And we need a flat tax. That's a fair tax. We've made a lot of progress, but we still have the highest income tax rate in the Rocky Mountain region. But we've done good so far, but we need to get to a flat tax. That's one rate that everybody pays. You make more, you pay more. You make less, you pay less. Our farmers and ranchers are still carrying the burden of the business equipment tax, even though we've raised the exemption. We have occupational licensing work to do, red tape relief, universal school choice. And I'm looking for legislators who are willing to come alongside us to get that stuff done for the people of Montana. And I think we gotta face forward. The primary is over. Let's get through the general, and let's have a successful legislative session in 2027.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I was going to get right to the fire season, but legislatively, we're looking at, and one thing that you did here as well, through the foster care program, initiate Montana's participation in A Home for Every Child. What is that? And then let's talk about legislatively how we can encourage families without mandating certain things that the government's really good about doing.
Yeah, well, this was a mess when I came into office. Montana had the second highest number of kids in foster care per capita in the entire country. So we went to work on it. And working with the legislature, we adopted a $7,500 tax credit for any family that's willing to adopt out of the Montana foster care system. But we also recognize that the state is not a very good parent. And every child deserves a permanent loving home. So we work with faith-based nonprofits to recruit adoptive parents and other groups that support adoptive parents. We also provided services for biological parents, so the state didn't have to get involved in the first case. And through those efforts, we've been able to reduce the number of kids in foster care in Montana by about 50% since I came to office.
Yeah.
Now, this A Home for Every Child is a new initiative. This is Melania Trump, First Lady Trump's initiative with Donald Trump. And Montana's the 25th state in the country, and it changes the reporting regime with the federal government to focus more on results, and it kind of sets up a horse race between the states. So with Montana signing on for the Home for Every Child, and we had the Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services in Helena for this big announcement, this is going to make it, it's going to reduce the red tape for us and focus more on outcomes, because although we've gone from over 3,300 kids in foster care in Montana to just 1,700, every single child deserves a permanent, loving home. We want to make that happen.
And I know that's something that's personal to you as well. Your foundation has supported that. What's new here? Expanding kinship placements?
There's a bunch of things. It's what's right for each state. Frankly, the assistant secretary said that every state currently is required to turn in reports every year. The data is usually 2 to 3 years old. The reports are hundreds of pages long. And when he investigated at the federal HHS, found out that nobody was reading the reports. So what this Home for Every Child does is it reduces the number of key performance indicators to just 10. And the primary one is, how many foster families are there in relation to the number of kids in foster care? And the goal is to have at least one foster family for every child in foster care. And then whatever the state needs to do to make that happen, go make it happen. And instead of reporting the data once a year, 2 years in arrears, these 10 key performance indicators are reported monthly. They're put up on a website so you can see where your state is competing against the other 24 states that are participating in this program. So as I said, it sets up a horse race. I think competition is a good thing as long as we're racing towards the right goal.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I appreciate that an awful lot. And it's not like a cut and dried sort of thing as well, because everything is going to be an individual case here.
Every state is different. I mean, we've been very successful in getting foster families and adoptive families to provide a permanent loving home. But 40% of the kids in Montana foster care currently are Native American. And if we don't, we got to follow all the ICWA laws. And this is very important because of some of the history we have. Native kids should be raised in Native families, but we've got to figure out a way to help Native kids get into permanent, loving Native homes. If we don't do that, we're not going to solve the foster care problem in Montana.
Yeah, and I sure appreciate the focus from the highest levels of government on this as well. So thank you. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, a Republican, as I mentioned as well, entrepreneur, a businessman, and has built a reputation around economic development too. Appreciate that. Workforce training, a lot of things. Tax relief, as you talked about already, public safety. And let's go to that fire season, all right? What did you hear? What's the outlook?
Well, we had all our partners together yesterday from state, local, as well as federal partners. The results are a little mixed. Mm. I think, first off, I want to say we're ready for fire season. We bought some new advanced technology at the state so we can overfly fires and use thermal imaging to detect hot spots that are not even visible to the eye. It allows us to be much more proactive in intervening after lightning storms. The weather report, this recent moisture we had really helped a lot. I mean, up along above Havre, up in the Golden Triangle, some of those areas got between 2 and 4 inches of precipitation last weekend. That's going to help a lot. It's also going to reduce the wildfire risk in our forests. While the recent moisture really provided some short-term relief, fire officials expect still significant wildfire potential, mostly in eastern Montana and southwestern Montana, really beginning in the middle of July. We were in a near desperate situation prior to this weather event last weekend. It's gotten better, but the weatherman really doesn't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I would just encourage people, be careful when you're out there. DNRC's done a great job. Last year they kept 94% of fires under their direct protection to under 10 acres. That's because we pursue an aggressive attack on all fires. We have much better cooperation from the Forest Service and BLM. They've now coordinated their federal firefighting resources into one agency under the Secretary of Interior. So they're easier to work with. They're much more responsive. But I want to say thank you to our firefighters, dispatchers, first responders, support personnel. If anybody ever wants to know what's going on, we have a great website, mtfireinfo.org. You can always check on a fire, its size, any warnings that come along with it, where fires are burning. But we're ready for fire season. Mother Nature can help us out a little more, though.
Boy, I'll reiterate that. mtfireinfo.org. It really is an informative, completely informative site for people as well. And answered prayers, too. I know that there was a proclamation, and it was sad to see the Democrats mock that and say, we don't need that. The response from everybody I'm talking to about the relief for this, and maybe more is coming as well. Very, very, very encouraging. Just, day and night, our attitude about it. What about regional?
Well,
go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I got notes from pastors across the state. The bishop texted me yesterday and said all the Catholic parishes had been praying for rain. And I'll just say, God answered our prayer last weekend. We had a major event. The temperatures cooled. The heavens opened up and the rain came.
Yes, amen. And not a lot of flooding. A little bit here and there as well. And maybe a little more this week, too. So vital. Regionally, because resources are looked at locally, statewide, regionally as well. What's the focus there?
Well, we've been making sure our aviation fleet's in place. We have contract arrangements with third parties. We're sharing an air tanker with Alaska. Their fire season in Alaska tends to come a few months earlier than ours. So they're using it right now. And as their fire season wraps up, that fire tanker will be available for us here in Montana. We've trained our National Guard. We have up to 2,000 men and women we can call on, hundreds with their firefighting certificate so they can actually go on the fire lines. So the resources are ready. We also have collaboration agreements with neighboring states, so we can call on those resources if necessary. So we're poised and ready and hopeful that we'll continue to have moisture so it won't be a severe season.
Has the public been responsive to reducing fire in the wildlands enough?
There's always more we can do. Mm. And let me just say, 3 out of 4 fires, wildland fires in Montana, are human caused. So just for everybody, when you're out there, be careful. Don't drag chains. Don't make sure your campfires are out. Follow the fire restrictions. Again, 3 out of 4 wildland fires are human caused. So just be careful as you recreate out there this summer.
And you focused on this also as you were in Congress as well, because it's been a national issue as well. How much fire reduction has taken place? And is there now momentum for that to be more of a permanent function of our forests?
Well, it is. And I think that that's really what allows us to get upstream and be more proactive is forest management. When we can get into a forest and reduce fuel loads, do prescribed burns, we get healthier habitat. It's easier to recreate, and the forest is more resilient to fire. And that's why we were so excited just a year ago now, to enter into this first of its kind agreement with the U.S. Forest Service called Stewardship Agreement. And it is, no pun intended, it is catching fire. We added two landscapes in December. Acres that of U.S. forest land that the state is going to be. I saw an estimate yesterday. The state had 20 million board feet of timber harvest through our Good Neighbor Authority for years. It'd be kind of flat, up and down a little bit. The projection is because of Good Neighbor Authority and the stewardship agreement and investments that our state legislature has made, the forecast for next year is 80 million board feet. It's 4x what it has been. And I think that's a trend that's going to continue. I would stay tuned. We're going to have an announcement shortly, later this week, about how we're expanding that stewardship agreement further. It's an umbrella agreement, first of its kind in the country, that allows the state of Montana to start managing federal forest lands under delegation from the federal government. And it allows us to go faster. We're closer. We're allowing industry to help us identify landscapes where desperate forest management is needed. So I'm really encouraged by the results, but I think we could do more.
And it seems like that those new laws specifically for this seem to be pretty tight, because I know that there are groups out there that will challenge a lot of these prescribed burns for a lot of different reasons. I don't want to malign them, but I think they are part of the solution, as they are a part of the problem here too. And maybe that's changing a little bit. How are those stewardship laws sufficient? Are they being held up in court?
That was a question I asked of the team yesterday. Litigation is still a headwind in all this stuff. About 20% of our timber sales are currently tied up in court, 20%. So, 80% are getting through. We've gotten better also in making sure we're dotting every I and crossing every T. Personally, I think we need some federal reforms as it relates to equal access to justice and the Endangered Species Act, because those tools have been weaponized by some of the environmental groups that do nothing but sue. We've quadrupled the harvest under good neighbor authority between what it currently is, what we projected to be in 2027, even with that litigation headwind. But it'd be nice if the wind just died down a little bit.
Yeah. I think we're seeing results from that too. So, I'm excited about that as well. And hopefully people will get more on board about that. Again, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte is with us here before entering public service, founded Right Now Technologies. That's a Bozeman-based software company. I think it employed 500 or so, really, really good paying jobs as well. I appreciate, too, that you're an outdoorsman, Governor. And I see that you and the First Lady, you'll go out fishing still. You will go out hiking and hunting still, even though there's a ton of things on your plate there. So, that's good work. Keep that up. Have you guys, what's the latest, hike that you've been on?
We're getting ready for a new grandbaby right now.
Oh, so, nice. Congrats.
And we got to let the snow melt in the mountains. And then we'll bag some peaks this summer. I think we have a float planned this summer. And I know you know that I go fishing and hunting. Just don't ask me where I go.
I've tried that already several times. And I get the same answer every time. So thank you for that. I want to talk about this issue, because I know that, as an entrepreneur, tech entrepreneur, a public leader, you're a thought leader. And so I'm not really asking about policy positions about it, but how should we approach AI? Because I have concerns it's happening so fast. Our ethics generally lag behind technology. How do we have an AI efficient society that's ethical and equitable for everybody? And I know you're looking down a crystal ball as to, maybe to answer that one, but what are your thoughts on it, Greg?
Well, I'm kind of a tech nerd. My master's is in computer science, and actually our business, we had over 20 patents. Most of them were in artificial intelligence and machine learning. Here's the way I think about it. AI is a tool. It's a tool in the toolbox, just like a carpenter has a hammer and they have a nail gun. And when they got the nail gun, they got more work done during the day. So this is something we should embrace. We should understand it well enough to put guardrails on it. We're not going to turn the world over to AI, but we're going to pull that tool out of the toolbox when we need it. The state of Montana has recently hired an AI officer. Their job is to help state agencies implement AI in productive ways that protects public interest and allows us to serve the people of Montana better. Let me give you an example. We rolled out a system a couple of years ago in our Office of Public Defender. This is the group that defends people in court who don't have a lawyer some other way. There's 250 lawyers in that department, and not surprising to anybody, they got to fill out a lot of paperwork.
Yeah.
So we built an AI system that knows how to interface with the court scheduling system. It knows how to read all the discovery documents, and it ends up preparing the filings that are necessary. Now, they're always reviewed by a human, but it gave each one of those 250 lawyers about 4 hours a week back. And so you think about that, 4 hours a week, that's 10% of their work week. That's 25 lawyers. And it made their job better because now they're not filling out paperwork. They're meeting with clients and they're appearing in court. Currently, we have over 60 pilots, AI pilots running in the state of Montana, and we're standing up 6 to 10 new pilots every single week. So again, we're pulling the tool out. We're using it to figure out if it's going to be effective or not. If it doesn't work, we shut the pilot down. If it's good and we think we can protect privacy and the public and do a better job for them, we put it into production. We have over a dozen AI systems in production already for the state of Montana. I think that we're gonna embrace this because I think it's good. It allows taxpayer dollars to go further.
Thank you for that. And then there's more. We'll pick that up again because that is a hot topic. Everybody's thinking about that as well. I saved a minute here. I want you to talk about Janneke, $800 million investment, 1,000 jobs. Man, that's workforce development there.
Yeah, this was a big, we worked on this a long time. John Janneke, they built an incredible business. He was a logger. His family was in the timber industry out in Washington State. They build now aviation parts for F-35s and other military systems. We recruited him. I had him to the governor's residence. We had him to the state many times. Yesterday, they announced that they've purchased 180 acres in Great Falls. They're going to invest initially $800 million in building a machine shop there to make parts, over 1,000 jobs over the next 5 years. And it was interesting. John called me about a month ago. He said, Governor, if we make this decision, this is before they finalized, he said, I need you to come out to Washington State. You and I are going to have a press conference here. And you and I have to explain to these knuckleheads why we're leaving.
It's pretty evident to some, but others.
I don't know if you saw Oregon. Oregon literally has a ballot initiative to outlaw fishing and hunting.
Hey, you know, before you go, what is your favorite fishing hole?
Nice try.
Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. Greg, be well. Say hello to everybody and appreciate your public service, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.